Are you ready? It's time for another great infotaining show filled with power-packed business and life information. Welcome to Your Future Is Now with your host, Jim Grant, and co-host, Don McGrath. Want to know how to create a fantastic TED Talk? Or how you can become an author or a speaker or build your own online business? Maybe it's reaching a level of success in your life that you deserve. Their show is designed to provide information to assist you towards your success and destiny. Each week, Jim and Don will interview a special guest and share exciting lessons. So grab a pen and paper. Take some notes. Thanks for joining the show. Now, here's Jim.
Well, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us today. We're so proud to be here, so thankful that you're tuning in. Your Future Is Now is sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com. And with us today, I've got my good friend and the co-founder of SpeakersPathway.com, Dandy Don McGrath. Everyone say hello to Dandy Don. Hey, Dandy, how you doing, brother?
You're doing really fine today, Jim. So happy to be on the show today. I'm got my laptop lifestyle thing going. We've been on the road for a few days, and right now I'm in Para Marquette in Illinois, just across the Mississippi River from St. Louis, Missouri, and just a beautiful, beautiful, maybe hot, but beautiful day here.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's amazing about, you know, the laptop lifestyle career that you talk about. I mean, it's a wonderful opportunity for people to be able to conduct business anywhere, because we've done the radio show on the road. We've done it in Colorado Springs. We've done it in Phoenix a couple of times. You've actually done it standing on the corner in Winslow, Arizona.
Absolutely. All over the place. It's never been easier.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot of fun here. But, you know, what's really about is the people that we're associated with. We're very, very blessed to be able to be in a position to bless others. And we're going to be talking about that today with our guest, Tamara. And but first of all, I wanted to give a shout out to Network Together. Dandy Don, they have done a superb job of getting business people together and just you know, combining all of their efforts and all of their energy and everything that they can do to help promote one another. I've never seen an organization like that. Have you?
No, I haven't. They found a really wonderful recipe, a recipe that involves networking. It involves fun. It involves business. It involves speaking. It involves helping out the youth and the community, and the energy that it generates at their events. We've seen it. We've been to a few of them, and we're really looking forward to having the Speakers Pathway one-year celebration in Phoenix right after the next one in October.
Absolutely, and for them to be a part of it, too, is really a blessing for us, because it's all about paying it forward and helping people, and that's what the true blessing of life is all about. Because like I was telling a young man yesterday, as a matter of fact, on the phone, we were talking, and I told him, I said, have you ever seen a happiness store? He laughed and he says, no. I says, because happiness cannot be bought. It must be earned. And that's exactly the way we feel about it here. And we're so fortunate. And what we find, ladies and gentlemen, what we find on this journey here, excuse me, but we find as we reach out and try to help people, people come to us who want to be part of what we're doing. That's exactly what Don and I have seen over and over and over again. And one of the people we've had on our show, which is a previous guest on our show, Dr. Karen Perkins, she's going to be attending the event there in Phoenix with Robert and Sean, Network Together, and she's going to be a guest with us at our one-year celebration, and she specializes in hypnotizing people. So I figured the Christian thing to do, Don, was for me and you to volunteer, Preston, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Just don't volunteer me. Don't volunteer. Don't tell me it's me. But yeah, I love that.
I'll just tell them I know savvy English, Spanish, or English, or anything else, you know. But yeah, exactly. Because Dr. Karen Perkins, she's a wonderful lady. We've known her for some time, and we have another wonderful lady with us today, Dandy Don, a good friend of ours who we met out there in Phoenix at the Network Together. And would you be so kind as to introduce Tamara to the audience and tell us a little bit about Tamara and what she's going to talk about?
Absolutely. So you and I met Tamara at the last Network Together, iNetwork Expo that we were at. And I don't know if you recall, but I remember the three of us just having a wonderful conversation. And one of the things that, that Tamara told me was that that she loves confrontation. And most of us hate confrontation, right? Like, we'd rather run 20 miles away from confrontation. So I want to welcome you, Tamara, to the show. And I'd love
you to tell us
a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so honored to be here. I've been blessed with many opportunities to speak on some really fun stages like Women Across Borders and just really some amazing spaces just like this where you guys celebrate deep connection and, you know, just that united front of one, you know, that combined soul, everyone doing that really intentional living. So I appreciate you guys letting me be here to speak with you both about some things that I'm passionate about. So, you know, gosh, I really do. When I think back to that day when I first met you guys, we had so much fun. We were giggling a lot. Yeah. I think we were very passionate about the same thing, about helping people connect and understand, you know, just that deep desire to be supported and united. So, you know, the reason I'm so passionate about conflict is because I see conflict as that golden opportunity for deeper connection instead of a stance of difference. And so I love helping people cultivate those hot spots when you feel like, you know, all is lost, and re-sparking an opportunity of deeper understanding for yourself and maybe even for the person you're speaking to or the community you're speaking to. Because sometimes it's not just one person, right? Can be a, you know, confrontation can be one against many or one against one, you know. So it's important to understand how you show up and what is, you know, what in that experience, what creates that. So a lot of the times I have this, I think I shared with you guys before, that I have this concept of three different elements: truth, transparency, and support. And I find it very, very important for people to understand who they truly deeply are versus being that facade of like the masks we wear, right? You know, we go around believing that I need to be something, right? To that perfectionitis that we all love to try to strive for.
Oh, yeah.
And it's always, you know, it's an elusive dream to try to be in perfection, because we, as humans, we are perfectly flawed, right? We have these beautiful idiosyncrasies about ourselves that make us unique and precious. And, you know, we fear being rejected for our uniqueness quite often. Mm-hmm. And that really is the beginning of the collapse. And I find it so much fun to step into those spaces with people and helping them celebrate how unique they are and know it's their superpower. I really go around saying vulnerability is our superpower because they want them to deeply connect. What's that? I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, you're exactly right, because one of the things that I share with people is how uniquely they are put together as far as their own individual personality, their talents, their gifts. And I like to use the fingerprints as an example, because no one's ever had your fingerprints since the beginning of time and will not till the end of time. But that's an outward sign of how specially created that you were. And my challenge to people is how are you going to leave your imprint on others to make their life better so they can bless others? That's what we're really here for.
Yeah.
That's what we're really here for. And I know one of the things that you're going to talk about is, you know, why do discussions turn into arguments? And I tell people, when someone's upset with you, and I learned this in sales many years ago, if a customer came in and they were upset with a product that was bought from your store, and the first thing that most people want to do is shut them up. Like, wait, you know, don't rattle my birdcage here. And I was taught, and I learned this, and I saw this. If you just take a deep breath and relax and let the person say, hey, I bought this thing fell apart, or I didn't like it, or, you know, whatever the problem was, and just let them get it off their chest. And by the time that they're done talking, you already know what you're going to do. And then if you ask them, you know, I understand, I agree with you, what would you like me to do about it? 95% of the time, they're willing to accept less than you're willing to give. Most of the time, what I would say, listen, let me give you your money back on this, and may I give you another 10% on your next purchase? It's good indefinitely. It's a win-win situation for the customer. And that's what I tell young people, that especially a young guy that's very near and dear to me. I said, well, you know, his wife was quiet, wouldn't talk to him for a day or two. And I said, well, just give her some space, because it may not have anything to do with you. He says, but I want to get her out of this. I'd leave her alone. I said, because if she's mad, she may be wanting to cool off, you know, long enough so she don't rip your head off your shoulders. And if it has involved you, well, guess what, son? You dodged the bullet.
So true.
But that's important when someone is, you know, wanting to have a discussion with you, and we get defensive very easily, don't we, Tamara? We want to turn it into an argument, or it can flare
Absolutely.
Into an argument. And that's so wrong, isn't it?
Well, it's not necessarily wrong. It's just where we're invested, and what we think is going on is not really what's going on, because we're so emotionally invested in our perception. We're not open to seeing the perception. We're not open to seeing what's really going on, because we're in this I stance, right? I'm the victim, or someone's trying to take something from me, instead of really looking and saying, okay, where's the confusion lie? Where am I being misinterpreted or misunderstood? Or, like, I love your example where, you know, somebody's coming in with a anger, really. They're coming in with resentment around a product that didn't fulfill the requirements. So they already have a story of, you know, not being satisfied or not being promised. So they feel almost lied to. So that right there is a dysfunction in the starting of the communication. So if you can step back and not make it personal and say, I understand, thank you for showing us that this is a problem, you know, how can I support you better, or what would you like in exchange for the discomfort? All of a sudden, there's a sense of support and understanding that bridges the confusion, and that diffuses someone's aggression right off the bat. Like you said, you know, here, let me help you. Here's your money back, which immediately takes away the center of focus. And in gratitude, I'm going to offer you a percentage discount for future business, which means it shows that you give the appreciation and respect back to them.
So absolutely.
That beautiful balance.
Absolutely. We got about 30 seconds left. I just want to say that it's so true, because once they feel like they don't have to argue with you and you're reasonable, then you can really go a long ways. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back right after these messages.
SpeakersPathway.com is the proud sponsor of Your Future Is Now, a show dedicated and aligned in perfect harmony with the vision and mission of Speakers Pathway. Dr. Sony Jackson's expertise is on the art of marketing while cultivating a long-term customer relationship in your business world. Do you know what to say or how to deliver your message to complete strangers? If so, Sony can help you. Tamara Hunter is a cancer survivor and works with people to focus their message or mission to the audience they want to reach. Do you feel called to create a movement to make the world a better place? If so, Tamara can help you. For additional information from any of our executive training directors, go to speakerspathway.com. That is speakerspathway.com.
Butt dialed someone accidentally? According to a report, for every 100 calls made to 911 this year, about 40 were dialed unintentionally. Recently, a mother in Canada called police after receiving a nightmarish cell phone call from her daughter, filled with blood-chilling screams and a man shouting murderous threats. Police discovered that the girl was at a movie theater in Victoria. Anticipating the worst, the cops were preparing to descend on the cinema when a dispatcher tried calling the girl's cell phone one last time. The girl answered her phone and explained she was not being attacked by a murderer, but was watching the horror film Cabin in the Woods. What do you call the activity of being impolite in a social situation by looking at your phone instead of paying attention to the person you are with? Fubbing.
It's marching down.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Word.
And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Grant, along with Dandy Don McGrath. And our show, Your Future Is Now, is sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com. And Dandy Don, we have a wonderful young lady with us today, a wonderful friend of ours. And would you be so kind as to introduce her back to the audience and just let her, what she's going to talk to us about, please, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. So over the break and before the break, we were talking about how conversations can turn into arguments. And it reminded me a bit of a book I read a long time ago that actually changed the way that I communicate. It's called Crucial Conversations. And it kind of reminded me some of the things that Tamara, you were sharing with us, is we come in with the I stance, like, this is what I want, right? And the other person's like, this is what I want. And we're so blind that, we got to bridge the gap. And so that just reminded me of that. And I'd love for you to share with us some of the things that you see about, criticality. What's critical in bridging that gap?
Well, I think it's so amazing. We all have our history. We all have stories that we've learned from our past, which are all different. And some of the similarities, are imprints of like understanding where you really get, someone else's pain. That's our empathy, our ability to relate to each other, right? But the one problem that really kind of isolates us again is where we go back into making it a personal attack. We go back into like even a general casual conversation. I don't know if you've ever had one where you're having a great time and then all of a sudden somebody heard something or there's an interpretation of a word used, and before you know it, you're in this full-on disagreement and you're like, what just happened? You have that how did I get here moment, right? Well, unfortunately, a lot of our stories from the past have triggers. There are trigger words that pull us back into memories from the past, or it could be a tone being used, or just even subtle things of a facial expression, or there are just so many little cues that we get cued on, and it just, all of a sudden, before you know it, you find the hair on your back standing up, and you're like in defensive mode, right?
Yeah.
So the funny thing is, a lot of us think it comes from outside of us. Now, the feedback came in from outside. Yes, that was something you experienced. But the way you perceive it, the way you take in the information, may be off balance. You may be in a stance of this fight to be right, or a stance to be understood and heard, which is very similar to the fight to be right, comes from your fear and shame, this belief that if you don't hold this stance, something's going to take you over, or you're going to be hurt or minimized. Mm-hmm. And so that stance creates a really intense, hostile experience. So that's the opportunity, though. People look at fight as something to avoid, but right there, that moment when you feel your hair stand up and you feel that desire to like prove a point, or you're pulled in a direction to get your voice louder and speak over the group, what's that about? That's your opportunity to ask yourself, why am I invested? Where is this going? Is it important? Or is it more of a desire by silence sometimes is more powerful, because you have the opportunity to pull yourself out of it, really collect your thoughts, and then be more impactful when you communicate. So creating pause, I have found in confrontation, to be one of our most powerful tools, instead of trying to dominate and talk over or shout at someone else.
Oh, wow. You know, as you're talking about that, Tamara, one thing that I've experienced from time to time during my life, and maybe I'm a little bit embarrassed to admit this, but the truth of it is, sometime I can meet a new person and they remind me of someone that I did not have a good rapport with. They may have some, the same, body language and all
posture,
that.
Posture, stance.
Yep. And I have forced myself to say, okay, let me see how I can like this person, rather than just automatically through a negative attitude, slam the door on them. Because, I've experienced that more than once in my life, to be honest. And it's a challenge, because therefore I could have slammed the door.
Can I share something with you about that?
Sure, please do. Yeah.
I hate to interrupt.
I need help.
Sharing, but no,
I need help.
I love that this shows up, because what that indicates to me is it's an opportunity for something that you have a belief around to work through. So if you have yourself meeting someone, so you have a tendency to kind of recognize there's this personality type that sort of sets you up and makes you kind of defensive or tight, this is a this is your opportunity to unwind that belief system. And so you can actually break down, like, so if you could share with us, what is it about that personality type that makes you feel like you really don't want to communicate with them? What is it about their expression? Mm-hmm. Have you noticed, yeah. or is there any, do you have any clarity on that? Would you mind sharing?
well, it's, you know, it's only been a couple of times and, uh-huh. You know, it was a bad experience from the person who I built that wall up about.
Right.
And then, you know, it's easy to justify in your mind that sometimes where you stand depends on where you're forced to sit. And that's a coward's way out. And I've got to be honest about that. But it's something that it's happened to me a couple of times and I've had to deal with it and try to, you know, say, hey, I'm not being fair to the person because that person has nothing to do with this other person. Just because they look like them or may have mannerisms like them or ding-dong my brain and remind me of them.
Yeah, but that's all beautiful, beautiful work in itself as well. But the opportunity to not have yourself triggered comes from understanding the other person that you are actually needing to protect yourself against. Yeah. So when that energy comes back, when that person, I use the word energy because it just embodies the whole expression of whatever they're carrying.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, it could have been their posture, it could have been whatever, but, the way that person arrived was a defensive impact from the assault that you had once before. Being, you know, it could be intense, it could be mild, it doesn't matter. It's just a stance. So what I find fun about this is when I personally have people that imprinted me in the past and come back with someone who has similar traits, I'll sit there and go, wow, I'm still very in the fight of that past relationship. So the opportunity for you is to look and see if there's more self-forgiveness, because usually when we get angry, we are still angry with ourselves more so than the person, because we have a story that we should have done something different to protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. So in that story, there's this stance of they didn't hear me because, or they were mean to me because. And so that because is where the pain comes from. Yeah. You're not going to always be heard. We know throughout our lives there are going to be people who disagree with us. That's just life. You know, we all have different belief systems, right? So we can make peace with that. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes, you know, like because that person you know, didn't understand me, I found myself getting more angry and more aggressive. And I don't like that part of myself. And why did that show up? So there's that opportunity of self-healing that can, in the long run, make you more neutral when you meet other expressions that don't put you in that defensive stance. So it's an opportunity to heal from a past story you're still carrying. Mm.
Hey, Tamara, I got a question. A question. So I'm sitting here listening to this and it reminded me of a time when I did totally get worked up, and you don't know me well, but it's really hard to get me riled. I mean, it's really hard to get me angry.
Yeah.
But yes, this one particular time, I really, really got angry. And the reason I got angry, and it was in a meeting, a work meeting, and I had seen this one particular individual. He was kind of a bully. Like at every opportunity, he would puff himself up and put down others. And I've been seeing this for a series of months, and he was new to the company. And over about 6 months, I saw this time and time and time again. And he did it to one of the directors who used to work for me.
Yes.
And when the meeting was over, everybody else left. I said, Dan, who is our boss, and this other guy, and I shut the door and I told them, don't ever do that again. Don't ever do that again to somebody that works for me, or for that matter, anybody else. And so I got really worked up, but is there a time and a place for putting somebody in their place when they're being, I call it abusive for lack of a better word?
So yes, because all emotions are correct. I know that sounds really weird to say that, but anger is just as important as joy. If you don't feel your anger, you can't feel your joy. So you have to be able to experience, you know, your sadness as well as your happy moments. So it's important to have all expressions. You can't minimize and always be happy. Otherwise, you won't know happy anymore. You lose connection. Mm. So it is important to tap into all your emotional ranges. How you do it is what matters. Now, yes, in your stance, that story is a beautiful story because somebody rubbed up against your ethics. Your core belief system is about treating others with dignity and respect. Yes. And by all cord, not just by, you know, being verbally civil, but actually physically and all of it. So it's your moral fiber. So when somebody bumps into our moral fiber, You're going to feel it's going to be a stance because you're a protector. We all actually, because we're all loving and hopefully deeply connected to our hearts, when someone's in pain, we're going to feel it. We're empathetic. We connect. So we're going to see an injustice and want to provide justice. That's not wrong. How you do it is what makes the difference. You can do it in a classy way, or you can do it in a really intentionally hurtful way. And usually when you do it in a classy way, it leaves an imprint and actually changes someone for the rest of their lives and creates an awareness. But when we do it in a hurtful way, the anger is fueled by more anger and it creates a toxicity. So that's the answer to that question is basically, yes, of course. But if you're attached to being right, you're in the wrong. But if you're really helping a situation and cultivating clarity by staying calm and being in a neutral stance and saying, you know, it really doesn't serve, you know, anyone in our community to behave like this. So here's what I see. Here's an opportunity for us to do something different. Be constructive instead of attacking, you know, and it really does create a space for somebody to go, oh, that my actions weren't really good. And it's the shame is what people hide from, the humiliation. So if you can create expansiveness in collapse, you have a deeper chance for connection.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, because Tamara, what you've shared with me and Don is very, very helpful. And I'm sure it's helpful for a lot of people out there because, in our minds, you know, if our mind is a circuit of cobwebs. We get this dust that collects in our cobwebs and we just need to get rid of that dust in because it can really it can really shape and warp your mind. It can rob you of your energy. And it's very, very important to be aware of that. And I'm glad that you brought that out and shared that with, you know, not only me and Don, but with the audience, because it's very important.
Because
it's very easy to fall in that ditch, isn't it, too?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And we're designed to survive. We're designed to cultivate experiences to grow, but we also look for fear in our actual genetic makeup is protective.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back right after these messages.
This show, Your Future Is Now, is sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com. And just like the show, we are dedicated and aligned in perfect harmony with the same vision and mission of helping people to find their future. Is fear holding you back from your calling or your life mission? Do you struggle with taking that first step? If so, Bill Henrich is our catalyst to help you create perspectives with new possibilities that will bring you more peace, more joy, more love in your life and freedom. Do you struggle trying to build your strategy? Do you know how to reach your end results? If not, Gigi Ames is your expert in strategy and helping you create your step-by-step game plan to reach your finish line. For more information on creating the life you want to live, reach out to Bill Henrich. Or if Gigi Ames can help you with building your strategy with your end goal in sight, go to speakerspathway.com. That is speakerspathway.com.
It's merging never hurt.
Each year, the United States Postal Service successfully ships over 160 billion packages and letters, with bills traveling through the mail at twice the speed of checks. Automated sorting machines read zip codes and directs the mail to the proper destination. But last year, they failed to read some 2.4 billion pieces of mail, all because of cacography. That's bad handwriting. So what happens to all that errant mail? The post office hires more than 700 postal clerks to decipher the most difficult ones. When a sorting machine discovers an illegible address, it scans and sends a digital image to the clerk's computers. Amazingly, the average clerk can crack the code in just 3 seconds. Not everyone can keep up, though, as management at the post office is always pushing the envelope.
It's merging never heard.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Word.
And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Your Future Is Now is sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com. I'm joined today with Dandy Don McGrath. And Dandy Don, you know, we had a wonderful conversation with Tamara during the break, and she's going to talk to us about some of the things about, do you ever feel like no one is hearing you? Oh, my goodness gracious. Have you ever felt like that, Dandy?
Did you say something, Jim?
Yeah.
Actually, that was great.
My last physical, my doctor did a hearing test, and he said, well, you know, you've got this, like, dip in the high frequency. Does your wife ever complain that you can't hear her? I said, yes. He said, well, you can tell her it's probably due to this, and so I use that all the time. But I think we all sometimes feel like we're not heard. And Tamara, mm-hmm. you were sharing us with some – over the break, you were sharing some really powerful things with us, and we'd love for you to share it with others.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you. The story of not being heard is probably the number one reason I see people fight the most. They get in a very invested stance of being heard. It's not even as much the fight to be right. I think a lot of people feel like they're just, you know, they just want to be right. They want me to be wrong. And it's really more of that. They just want to be heard. And when we realize that, we can actually create the space for people to be heard. Part of the problem is that if you're the person who is actually communicating and not being heard, it can feel very personal. And we get very invested in that. So I have learned to become more mindful and recognize that when somebody is not hearing me, it's probably because I didn't invite them into the conversation. And this is a new concept. Many people don't really think about this. They just start talking and sharing and telling and doing, and it's a very unconscious way to communicate. And so we're not consciously listening, and we're not consciously using words that are, you know, intentional. We're just kind of, you know, spewing on each other all day long. And so people have learned to kind of tune some of the noise out in order to survive, you know, to get to some of the more important things that they need. And by learning that the reason somebody's not listening is because they're probably not present. But if you invite them into the conversation, that shifts their attention back into the conversation. So what I love to do is I'll role play it with you guys a little bit so you can see what this feels like.
Okay.
Usually if I have to have a conversation, I'll use my kids as an example because, you know, it's hard to be a parent and communicate with your children. I know it doesn't go along with business, but you can see it. Sometimes your business situations are very much like children too. So maybe it will work. But I have three children, and they all have different personalities. My oldest is now 22. He's going off to the Air Force. He's super excited. And I have a 18-year-old and a 16, almost 16-year-old who's about to learn to drive, two boys and a little girl. They all have deeply different styles of communication, listening skills, and their ability to be present. Because, you know, I don't know if you know this or if you've met children in a younger bracket, but a lot of these kids are suffering from communication skills in general. They communicate through, you know, computers and cell phones, and, you know, we all see it at the kitchen table. We see these, you know, or restaurants. We see these people all texting, and they're all sitting in a circle, and nobody's looking at each other. It's so unfortunate, but it's kind of like a major disconnection in our connection. Mm-hmm. And so when I talk to my kids, I'll say things like, hey, can I have your attention for just a minute? I know that sounds really cold, but I just really want to share something with you. So I'll say, hey, you know, I really want to get your insight on this. Or can I have some time? Can I chew on your ear for a minute? I'll be playful with it. I'll do all different kinds of ways of asking for permission to start sharing. Usually by just doing something so subtle and not abrasive, not, hey, listen to me, it's never aggressive. Mm-hmm. It's more of an invitation. They then can say, actually, Mom, I'm busy right now. Can I come back to talk to you when I finish this? Absolutely. That's great. Versus over talking when they're already engaged in something else. Because I can go into a room and start talking to them and telling them things that they need to do, but they'll probably not do the things I need them to do because they weren't invited into the conversation. So a lot of the times with employees too, you know, you think you're the boss, this is their job, they should be doing these things. They'll run in and say, hey, what's going on with this file, this account, what's going on? And they'll be like, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? You know, it's like, well, you got to invite them in to the conversation, right? You got to bring them to where you are, because usually people are actually somewhere else. They're usually not in the physical experience. They're either thinking about a conversation they had yesterday or something that's about to happen tomorrow. We're so distracted. And so we need to invite people into the conversation. So that is a really big reason why people don't feel heard in the immediate part of the conversation. Now, when it comes to confrontations, a little bit different, because even if you did ask and invite someone into the conversation, they may still not be emotionally ready to hear what you have to say. So if you're talking and sharing, and you're feeling like you're not being heard, it might be to the solid point that they're not ready to receive the information you're sharing. And if that's the case, it has nothing to do with you. It could be that maybe even the way you're presenting the information, they can't understand because they have no point of reference to connect to what you're sharing. So it's really being an investigator in your own communication styles and really becoming hyper aware that you're maybe not coming across because of like having a language difference. You know, sometimes people, here's a great one. I'll give you guys an example. The word hope is a really powerful word. Hope for most means hope for something better, something in the future, to have hope. But in religion, hope means to have faith. It's that very similar understanding. You know, you believe in something, so you have faith. I hope for faith, you know, and there's a lot of connection to that. Unfortunately, when you, in my world, if you have hope, you create resistance. You're creating pain in your life because you're in denial of what is. And so what that looks like is this. I hope tomorrow I'll get paid so I can pay my bills. But what if your paycheck doesn't come or is not enough to cover your bills? You're automatically in pain. So you have to do something or be present to the situation of what you're experiencing and be present to that instead of hoping for tomorrow to be a better day, to make things better. Because you're always chasing the elusive dream versus being present to what's really in front of you. So it's you know, don't spend too much money so you can support yourself, that kind of thing, versus being hopeful that I'll get the raise or get the better job to cover my expenses. It's accountability. So I actually, a lot of the times, will say hope is kind of a bad word because hope is denial of what is. And so a lot of us, the way we use that word is not in the balance with the intention behind the way the word was really crafted.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you're exactly right. You know, one of the things that I've kind of spoken out about and against is kind of like the lotteries, because I see a lot of poor people standing in line spending their last dollar, and it gives them a false hope.
Yes.
You know, it's just not right. And
that's a deep one.
Yeah, and because they get addicted to it, you know. They'll tell them, if you don't buy, you can't win. Well, come on now, you know.
Yeah, and that's a Band-Aid approach, and this is why I have an issue with how we use the word hope. Is we get into this investment of that something else has control over our destiny. We don't take ownership. And that's why it's so important to me that you recognize to have dreams, to aspire, to have goals is a beautiful thing. But to hope in the sense as if you have to give it to someone else and be the victim of the experience is not very empowering. It's disempowering. So I love to use that word and say, you know, to have hope and desire of fulfillment is the opportunity for you to create that. So if you have this longing for something, then make it happen. Turn hope into reality, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I used to share a short story. I used to work for somebody that if you said there's two words that would set them off. One, and this is a context of a corporate work and projects, right?
Yes.
If you said, here's what I hope, or if you said, I'll try.
Oh.
Everybody got to be like,
don't
you never
get me
said
too.
Hope, right? You never said hope, because he was a general manager, right? So so hope and try, he's like, as soon as it come out of your mouth, you'd be like, don't.
I didn't mean it. Please forgive me. Yeah, those are definitely two, because they're not out of real integrity. Because being hopeful means that you're a victim by circumstance, and I'll try means you didn't really even try, because you're saying you're going to try, which means you're not really doing. They're
exactly
really close, out of alignment, you know, out of integrity.
If you're telling me you're going to try or that you hope, I can pretty much guarantee it's not going to happen.
It's not getting done. Exactly, exactly. See, and this is the other thing. I think of the word vulnerability. Here's another word I feel like we have really skewed. Vulnerability, mm-hmm. a lot of people see as a white flag. They're surrendering to something, you know, and quitting. Or they say, letting go. I'm just going to let go of it. These interpretations of our words that we use are so not serving. To me, vulnerability is our superpower. It's an opportunity for someone to get to really know you. If we're not vulnerable, it's surface. It's not getting to know. It's wearing a mask versus being a deep connection. When we're vulnerable, somebody can really get to understand our heart and really understand our perspective and really align with us. But when we wear this shield against vulnerability, all they need is this version of who we think we are that we think will please them, which always leads in disconnection and detachment. And you've got this real intense resentment when you can't follow through on the things you promised, and that really creates an abandonment. So you can see why without vulnerability, we don't have any connection. And we are abandoning each other and ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Because as you were saying that, what popped in my mind is when I came back from Vietnam in 1970, you know, I couldn't talk about things. And, you know, people, I kind of looked at, you know, people, and I kind of like thought, you know, I was kind of confused with the big three, who I am, who they think I am, and who should I be. And that's really, I'm really interesting because to hear what you're going to say more about vulnerability when we come back from commercial break. We're about 30 seconds out, but that just really, you know, you strung a note with me when you said that, because it rang a bell with my life. And I don't know about you, Dandy, you probably connected a couple of things there too, didn't you?
Yeah, I've got my notepad out. You know me, I'm a massive note taker.
Yeah. Well, we'll be back right back after these messages, ladies and gentlemen. We'll get Dandy from Writer's Cramp.
Your Future Is Now is sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com, and just like the show, we are dedicated and aligned in perfect harmony with the same vision and mission of helping people define their future. You may have heard that a picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, a video is worth 1,000 pictures. Koji Simaldi says, if you're not using video in 2019, you're going to get left behind. Most people feel lost or confused when it comes to marketing. Preston Martelli is a marketing guru whose strategies are both art and science in growing your business. Preston helps you make the right decisions that are predictable, measurable, and scalable. For additional information about Koji, Preston, or any of our executive training directors, go to our website at speakerspathway.com. That is speakerspathway.com.
Have you heard? The pages of American Patchwork and Quilting magazine come to life on our new weekly online radio show, American Patchwork and Quilting. Join Pat Sloan, our blogging and quilt designer host, as she talks about the latest trends, ideas, and inspirations. Her guests include quilt pattern designers, authors, quilt shop owners, and our editors, all quilters just like you. Call in with your questions. Get quilting tips from industry experts. Learn about free patterns. Hear behind-the-scenes stories from our magazines, American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilt Sampler, and Quilts and More. Get the scoop on free stuff. And find out more about the best independent quilt shops in North America. To listen to a live show, tune in Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Just log on to allpeoplequilt.com/radio. To hear past shows, go to iTunes and search for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We hope you'll join us, because we know that quilting changes everything. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Your Future Is Now is sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com. And Dandy Don, man, oh, man, oh, man. We had some great conversation with Tamara there during the break, didn't we, brother?
We absolutely did. We got talking a lot about vulnerability, and it reminded me of one of my, you know, I'm a speaking geek, right? So I watch TED Talks like people watch Game of Thrones, right? I binge watch TED Talks. And so it reminded me of one of my favorite TED Talks by Brené Brown about the power of vulnerability. And the picture she paints is she studies vulnerability. She's a professor. That's what she studies. But she said she was the least vulnerable person in the world. So, you know, I think sometimes we can intellectualize something, but we may not be living it. So, yeah, Tamara, I would love to hear more about the power of vulnerability.
Yes. So, you know, what's fascinating about vulnerability? It starts when we're very young. You know, 0 to 3, we're pretty much fed information. We don't have much of a voice yet. We don't understand things. We're kind of more taught versus, you know, like sponges. We're absorbing everything, right? So, when we get older, from 5 and up, we pretty much are working on these belief systems to make them right, wrong, good, or bad. And so in that process, as we're like bumping into our belief systems and testing them against the world and understanding if we're accepted, liked, or loved for who we are, we minimize all different kinds of stories within our minds about if this person really knew this about me, they would not like me or they would think bad of me. And a lot of the times, we make that story up to be so ridiculous. It's not even any, I mean, it's such a fantasy and a horror story. It's probably where some of our great movies come from, but you know, it's insane how so much backstory is going on before you've even interacted and had the chance to be vulnerable and exposed yourself. But that fear of being vulnerable and judged, holy cow, right? It's just it's an intense process. Well, I remember when I was younger, I used to kind of, you know, manipulate perception. I love to put it that way, right? Manipulate perception in order to be accepted and liked by my peers. Well, the truth was the only person who was being fooled was me because I just so desperately wanted to fit in and belong. And I think a lot of us can relate to this, especially in high school and your younger years. You want to be a part of a community of people who really get you. But if you're busy painting fantasy, and you constantly are changing the fantasy or even, you know, go in such an extreme with the fantasy and then they all of a sudden lose reality to it. It does. You're a liar then, right? All of a sudden you're a, you know, person who's out of integrity. Now, I truly believe most people lie because they're fearful. They have a lot of shame and there's intensity around that. Now, vulnerability, I'm not talking about if you're not vulnerable, you're lying. It's not really true. But what I'm saying is you can understand why vulnerability became such a fearful thing as we became older, because as we've tested ourselves out over time, we've learned that being vulnerable is a very dangerous thing. Someone can use it against us. They can, you know, tell people about our darkest secrets. If you were, you know, shared your heart with somebody and all of a sudden now everyone knows because you got in a fight. There's so many times in life where we trust in, you know, entrust our truth to somebody and they weren't worthy of it. And then they used it against us in a moment of trying to get us back. Right. So as we've had these experiences, we have put up this belief around vulnerability, and it has been told through schooling and education and stories through Hollywood that vulnerability, you know, the weaker person is taken over. So vulnerability and weakness became aligned. And the truth is that if we aren't courageous enough to show who we truly are, our ethics, our morals, our belief systems, and be vulnerable about it, let people perceive us, not judge us, but perceive us, we are going to be in an island alone by ourselves. It's a very lonely place, and we feel unloved and unaccepted, right? So if you really think about it, the thing we're trying to not do by not being vulnerable, we're actually creating anyway. So it's kind of a funny thing, right? Then you're like, well, wait a minute. If I put myself on an island by creating this life that's not real, then because I'm not being vulnerable and nobody's really knowing me and I'm not willing to expose my truth, then it's no different than if I share everything and people know who I am and I'm an open book, and they judge me for it. Because if they don't like me, then I'm on my own anyway. But if I actually share with them and they like what they see and they can connect to it and they can relate to it, oh my gosh, all of a sudden now I have somebody who gets me. So vulnerability is very powerful, but you can see how easily we can fall into fear of it, you know?
So. Yeah, exactly. Because I remember when you were talking about that, it brought me back to a time when I was taking some training to become an NCO, a non-commissioned officer in the military. And one of the instructors was teaching. He says, you're going to make mistakes. Own it. If you make a mistake, have the courage to say, hey, folks, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. He says, your credibility goes straight through the roof then.
Yeah.
And rather, he says, too many people are cowards about it. That was the word he used. He said, they're cowards about it. They don't want to, you know, admit that they made a mistake, or they're just hoping that no one recognizes this or remembers it.
Or and he sees it.
Yeah. He said, believe me, they'll remember that longer than anything else.
Right. Because they felt lack of trust, you know.
Like, right.
You know, without vulnerability, it's not a trustful space, because we're always left guessing what's being understood, or, you know, it's up to interpretation. Yeah. But when we're able to, I know when I was going through my divorce, you know, I had a lot of people judging me for the way I helped my children through the process. And looking back, it was the most powerful thing I ever did for my kids, was let them know how I was feeling and what I was experiencing, and not letting them take ownership of the experience. Like, I literally said, this is my journey. This is what I'm doing. And it's hard. And I am going to share it openly. I'm not going to, you know, hide and pretend everything's fabulous when sometimes are rough. Now my children have coping skills, and they have the truth. They don't have this perception that one parent is worse than the other. You know, there's complete, you know, balance between the understanding. They don't have any illusions of how it was, right? And so that created a safe place for my children to have a voice in the relationship. Hey, mom, I don't like that. Because I was courageous enough to be, you know, vulnerable with them, now they can be vulnerable with me. And it built a new connection of trust and love and support and respect. You know, I hear a lot about how, you know, my kids don't respect me. And I'm like, well, I get that. You know, if you're not giving respect, how are you going to get respect? Mm-hmm. And vulnerability is a huge element to respect. If you're not vulnerable and sharing with someone how you feel about the way they're acting and give them the respect that they're asking for, you're not going to get it back by just because you're the adult. You know, you have to create a safe place. And so if you're wearing a mask, pretending to be the perfect parent or the perfect boss or the perfect this or the perfect that, eventually that mask will crack and they will see the truth. And they will make up stories about the gaps between the man or the person you show up as versus the person you pretended to be. So it's invaluable to be full of your integrity and go back into your deep core beliefs. I have a workshop where I really focus deeply on, I do it once a month, where we focus deeply on truly understanding our truth, knowing what transparency means, vulnerability, and how to be a healthy supporter and how to receive healthy support. Because a lot of people don't understand those fundamental basics. And it's powerful when you get that, no matter what people do outside of you, now you have a firm sense of yourself. It's like you're rooted deep in the ground, and that wind can come gusting by and run their judgment over you. And you're like, yeah, it's okay. I totally get that's what you think. And it's all right. I'm solid. We're good. You can have that feeling. So it's really an impactful thing.
Oh, it absolutely is. And I like the idea that you're going to give a free 45-minute clear communication strategy call. Could you share that with the listeners, please?
Yes, it's a lot of fun. I know it sounds scary, but the intention behind this is because a lot of the times we're bumped up against struggles, and we can't see both sides of the perspective, right? So because we're so invested in our view. And so what I love doing these calls for is to help people shift that issue that they're stuck with. So what I do is I give you, if you sign up for that, you literally are just filling out a quick little questionnaire, so that when we're on that 45-minute call, it's focused directly on what you need and not feeling, you know, unsupported. So the intention behind it is solid, hyper-focused you time, giving you a chance to really look at some of the patterns that are no longer serving you and how to let go of them so that when you bump into that behavior, like we talked about earlier with, you know, that somebody not being in integrity and having it bounce against the integrity, we get a chance to work through those moments and create a really new way, a new strategy on how to approach those issues with a more neutral stance. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, one thing that pressed me and Dandy Don, we were standing out there in Phoenix visiting with you, was just, we just all three connected. So
yeah.
For the audience out here that's listening, and someone that may be listening either on iPod or iTunes or on podcast a little bit later, how could they find you on the internet? Could you be kind enough to give them your website, please?
Absolutely. They can go to www.tamra, T-A-M-R-A. B as in boy, LANKENSHIP. That's TamaraBlankenship.com.
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, the TamaraBlankenship.com. I was going to say there is no middle A. My parents were creative. What can I say?
Yeah.
They went
when you. Yeah, when you gave me your card, I thought it was misspelled there for just a second. That's one of those misconceptions, isn't it?
Yeah. I love how everyone thinks my business card's misspelled. I get that all the time, and it cracks me up. I'm like, do you not think I know how to spell my name? So it cracks me up. I love that.
I tell you, Dandy Don, that Tamara being on our show today has really been a blessing to us and to our audience, too. And I just want to thank you so much for being with us, Tamara. And Dandy Don, I'm sure you want to say thank you to Tamara as well.
Yeah, thank you so much, Tamara. It's been an absolute pleasure. You get me. I got writer's cramp. I've been taking notes. And I tell you, that's about vulnerability. I'm relating back to the stuff I teach about speaking. So thank you. Mind blown.
Oh, you are so wonderful. Thank you guys for this lovely space. What an amazing environment you create. You guys did an amazing experience here.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you so much. And later on, ladies and gentlemen, they will publish the show. We'll have all of Tamara's information there, a little bit about what we covered today. You can go to toganet.com/shows and then put in "Your future is now." And well, we're out of time. I'll be doggone. Thank you so much for tuning in. You guys have a wonderful day and a great weekend. Bye-bye.